Hey guys, it's your best five friends. I'm Kelsey. That's not Rachel. That's Steven. And of course, Steven is here. Finally, Steven is back for story of the week. Steven, welcome.
I'm back.
He's back. Yeah, we just, I guess it's been like a couple weeks now, huh? Since story of the week, you've been here last?
Couple weeks, yeah.
It's not the same without you, Steven. How am I even supposed to know what interesting stories are happening in the UFC every week if you don't tell me about it?
I know. I mean, you could check out my author page, but
I could do that, but I'd rather you just tell me about it. Tell me, Steven, this week, what is your favorite and or biggest story of the week?
Well, as a proud Canadian, I like to talk about this guy, Georges St-Pierre. He's been in the news recently. And if you guys don't know, I'll kind of, I guess, give you a little bit of a breakdown here. So Ryan Kavanaugh, who's a co-owner of Triller, came out on social media and said that he's trying to put together a boxing match between Georges St-Pierre, former UFC middleweight and welterweight champ, and Oscar De La Hoya, the golden boy, who, if you guys didn't see earlier, a couple months ago, Oscar announced his return. He said he's going to box in July. He never gave an opponent, but there's a few times where he said that he was looking at UFC fighters. Okay, so Ryan Kavanaugh wants to put together GSP and Oscar De La Hoya. GSP came out a couple days later and confirmed that he wants to box Oscar De La Hoya, saying that it's a dream fight for him. However, there's a big snag here. And what that snag is UFC president Dana White and the UFC in general. Georges St-Pierre is a contracted fighter for the UFC. So what that means is that UFC, Dana White, they need to give permission to Georges St-Pierre and Triller for Georges St-Pierre to go box De La Hoya. Problem is Dana White is not answering Ryan Kavanaugh's phone calls. That's what Ryan Kavanaugh said in the Instagram post about a week ago. And also Dana White during the UFC 262 post-fight presser, essentially he admitted to it. He's like, I'm not answering the phone. You guys do whatever you want to do. I don't know what you guys are doing, but I don't want any part of it. And he said that he also confirmed that he gets phone calls and text messages from these guys, you know, almost daily, but he's not interested. So just this whole thing here, it's super interesting, right? Because this fight kind of came out of left field. Georges St-Pierre for a long time has said that the only reason he'd come back to fighting would be to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov. Well, that fight's not happening anymore, obviously. He never even really mentioned, as far as I've seen, boxing someone. Yeah. Apparently this has been a dream of his for a while, so I must have, maybe in other interviews he's maybe have mentioned this before, but I've never seen it. So I guess this whole thing is just super interesting. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I would be surprised, I guess, at this point if it does happen. Seems like Dana White does not want to play ball with Triller at all, especially, and Oscar De La Hoya.
Yeah, he hates Oscar De La Hoya. They hate each other, maybe, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, Dana White, he's called him like a cokehead and stuff after, because if you guys remember, Oscar De La Hoya promoted the Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz 3 MMA fight, and that Dana White was super against that fight happening, especially with Chuck Liddell, especially with how Chuck Liddell's last few fights had gone years prior to that. And then watching that fight, Chuck Liddell, you know, got starched in a minute or two.
So, Steven, I would argue that you are Real Talk, the official Real Talk with Kelsey and Rachel. You're the official expert on GSP. How good of a boxer do you think GSP is? Because my understanding, GSP comes way before Kelsey got really all that super interested in MMA. I know he's considered one of the best ever. I've seen his stats. I've seen him fight. But in my mind, tell me if I'm wrong, he's more of a wrestler.
He's definitely more of a wrestler. However, he was known for his super effective jab in the octagon. And he used that, if you guys ever watched the GSP versus Josh Koscheck 2 title fight, he broke Koscheck's orbital bone with his nasty jab. So he's got a great jab, but even Georges St-Pierre has admitted in this interview with Cinema Blend a couple of days ago, that he knows that Oscar De La Hoya is a much better boxer than him. And he's not trying to claim that he is a better boxer than De La Hoya. However, he feels that his size and his age are like these two factors that will, you know, kind of make things a little more equal in the boxing ring. But as like a pure boxer, I mean, no, Georges St-Pierre has never been known as like, you know, this fantastic boxer is going to box your face off. He's got a great jab. He's very technical. But I mean, De La Hoya obviously is the better boxer here.
I would like to offer a third factor maybe to the potential fight between the two guys. Here's another thing. I don't feel like, from what I've seen, especially in the last trailer pay-per-view, I don't feel like Oscar De La Hoya is maybe living the same kind of clean athlete life that GSP is living, right? I feel like GSP lives a certain kind of life, and Oscar, man, you saw Oscar. Oscar was, he was blowed out. He was blowed up. I don't know what he was doing on the trailer pay-per-view, but I wonder, I legitimately wonder how much that will help and or hurt him. Like, I'm kind of fearful as a longtime boxing person, and I've met Oscar De La Hoya and interviewed him before. I'm kind of fearful he's putting himself in a bad position. I don't want to put you in a bad position, Stephen, though, but what do you think about that plus GSP being bigger and also, I think, a little younger?
So GSP just turned 40. De La Hoya, I believe, is 48. Talking about the shape that they're in, like, GSP is in phenomenal shape. Mm-hmm. If you go onto his Instagram, every day he's posting of himself working out. And it's not just him in the gym doing dumbbell curls or like shoulder press, things like that, or chest press. Like, he's in the gym doing functional training, doing his like gymnastics training that he did when he was, you know, the champion of the welterweight division in the UFC. He's doing a lot of functional stuff. He's in great physical shape. Have we seen Oscar De La Hoya doing
that stuff? Oscar looks like he's gotten into some good shape, but
yeah.
I mean, there's a difference between a guy like GSP, in my opinion. There's a difference between a guy that stays in shape for 10 years and a guy who gets in shape over the last few months.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. GSP, he lives the life of an athlete, as you said. And Oscar De La Hoya appears that he doesn't do that. So I think it would be a fun, intriguing fight. I mean, I think it would probably do fairly well on pay-per-view. But I just don't know if that fight's going to happen. I don't think the UFC or Dana White wants to play ball with Triller at all.
I don't think they like that. And I also don't think that Dana wants to give Oscar. I think if Dana gives Oscar somebody to fight, it's going to be somebody that's going to whoop him.
Yeah. And yeah, I wonder if it was like a different person that Triller was trying to get to box. Like, maybe it was a Mike Tyson.
You can fight Francis, Oscar.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Feed him to Francis. But yeah, I wonder if it was someone that Dana White was more cordial with, like a Mike Tyson. If Triller was trying to get Mike Tyson to box, maybe Dana White would be more willing to give over a fighter. But obviously, that's not happening. Mike Tyson has said he doesn't even want to box for Triller anymore. That's a whole another saga. Yeah, that's
crazy, man. There's also, I don't understand what's going on with Triller.
I don't know either. Jake Paul's not there anymore either.
I know. What a crazy turn of events. Well, that's an interesting story of the week, Stephen. But I'm going to tell you my story of the week. And I'm going to also ask you your opinion on why it's a story. But here it is. Conor McGregor is no longer ranked among the top 15. They do top 15 pound for pound lists, which always throws me off when I want to talk about it. The UFC's pound for pound list, he was hanging on. Conor was just hanging on the side of it, I think at number 15. And then, of course, after Charles Oliveira's dominant win, or not dominant, amazing comeback win over Michael Chandler, he leapt up and Conor fell out of the pound for pound rankings. Here's my question about my story of the week, Stephen. Why was Conor even in the pound for pound rankings?
I think he was just living off of the legacy that he built up to 2016 with all
five
of
years ago.
Well, so that's the thing, right? He also, I mean, against Cowboy in January 2020, he looked unreal. But now we look at where Cowboy is now in his career, hasn't won a fight for years. I think he was living off of that. Also, his skill, like, he's a highly skilled guy. I remember going into this Dustin Poirier fight in January of this year, Conor was the favorite. Like, people thought that Conor was going to win. And right now, Dustin Poirier is ranked number, I believe, 6th in the pound for pound rankings. So,
yeah.
The fact that he was favored to win, and he might even be favored to win in July. So he's still favored to beat a guy that's
favorite. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's still favored to defeat a guy that's within close to the top 5 of the pound for pound rankings. Right. So I think that those are the reasons. However, now that he's out of it, I actually think like that's a very fair thing. I mean, move over Conor. We got a new king in the division, Charles Oliveira. And then if you look at everyone else on that list, like Justin Gaethje's ranked in the pound for pound rankings. Justin's done way more in the octagon since, you know, within the last few years, and Conor really hasn't done too much. So I think there's also like a recency thing here too. Don't be surprised if, you know, Conor comes in and wins in July against Dustin Poirier. He's going to surge up those rankings.
That's a big if.
Yeah, that's a big if. That's a real big if.
It's so strange. The pound for pound, just in general, the topic of pound for pound lists, is something that exists and is constantly causing turmoil in both the boxing world and the MMA world and the UFC, particularly. Who's the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world? We're usually always arguing about who deserves to be at the top. We're seldom arguing about who belongs in the top 15. 15 to me, I used to have to do a top 25 rankings pound-for-pound in boxing for Bleacher Report. It was like the hardest and dumbest thing, right? Because it's so many people that at some point, you know, I feel like it's hard enough just to, for me as a human to be like, oh, I think this guy is number one pound for pound, because I have to have good reasons, right? I have to, and as I move down that list, I feel less and less and less sure. But an interesting topic to me, all that to get to this interesting topic to me, Stephen. I go back and forth right now as who should be on the top of the UFC's pound for pound list right now. And it depends on how I'm thinking about it. I think that John Jones deserves to be number one because he's been the best fighter in the world for like a decade. And that's crazy. He deserves that if I think about it that way. But if I think about it in another way and I think, well, who just looks the most dominant right now? I think it's Kamaru Usman, the UFC welterweight champion. So I was wondering what your thoughts were on that. And if you had a pick, if you had to pick the number one, if they were like, Steven, we're going to tell you that you can pick the number one pound for pound fighter, who would it be? And why?
It's interesting. So this whole thing with, you know, Jones, he's living off his legacy to be at the number one pound for pound spot. Because let's face it, his last fight, which is over a year ago, a lot of people thought that he lost that fight. The fight before that against Thiago Santos, it was a split decision. A lot of people scored it for Santos also. Then you look at Kamaru Usman, he's just been wrecking dudes, right? So this is the same reason why I think Conor was on the list for so long, because he was living off that legacy. But now it's been, you know, now that he had that loss, that's why he can jet off those rankings. If I had to give a number one pick, I would say, honestly, I think Kamaru Usman. And I still believe, you know, if I had to pick right now who I think the greatest fighter of all time is, it would be John Jones. But we're looking at the pound for pound rankings right now. Just because he was the greatest doesn't mean he might be the greatest right now. And that's just because he's gotten older and whatever. But however, he's still the greatest ever. But if you're looking for the pound for pound guy right now, which is so subjective, I do think it's Kamaru, especially with how he beat Jorge Masvidal. I mean, knocking him out, and then how he beat Gilbert Burns. Like, he's beating all these guys on the feet. I would say, yeah, Kamaru Usman. You got my vote, man.
I don't think there's a wrong answer. I was just super interested in your opinion. For me, I guess if I asked myself that question, I have to be honest, and I think the top pound-for-pound fighter in the UFC is probably Jake Paul, Stephen. Think about that. Have you ever seen anybody take Jake Paul down in the octagon?
No.
The answer is no. Oh, goodness. Well, hey, guys, I was kidding, so don't, you know, jump in the comments and make a bunch of noise. But if you want to, you can. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. He's Steve McCarty. I'm Kelsey McCarson. We both write for Heavy. Come join us over there.
Bye.